All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
We made it to 100 episodes, and we got a super special interview today.
Amazing, 100 is here already.
I can sense it. It's going to be a good one. Are you as excited as I am?
I'm so excited.
Welcome to another episode of Friendly A Daisy Podcast, a safe space where even the running man's can't break his leg. My name's Andy.
And I'm Dave.
Dave. Yeah, I was going to say, I fucking scripted this for you, man. I scripted it and you still did it wrong.
No, that's what I was going to say. I'm Dave. The real Dave.
And together we're here to
see if the Zagorki bars are really on him.
You better bring the Zagorki bars, Dave, because I'm going to be gutted.
I wonder what they actually taste like.
What are they made of?
Yeah.
I feel like it's like those nuts, like Nutri, you know, the Nutri bars.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Ooh. Yeah. Awful. Take away all the moisture in your mouth.
If this is the first episode of Friendly you're listening to, our backlog of interviews, topics, and community stories are available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and basically every damn place you can get your podcasts. As a top tip for this episode, actually for our podcast in general, don't take us too seriously. Because we don't take ourselves that seriously.
What you've got to do with us is as a little bit of the bullshit tax. We take some and we give some. You know, we don't always talk about Daisy, but when we do, it's meaty.
You don't come here for facts, that's the truth.
The facts be the facts, the bullshit tax be the bullshit tax.
Well, we have a killer of an episode today. It's our 100th episode. We started this show nearly 2 years ago.
That's mad.
It is mad. It is absolutely mad. And here we are. We're about to interview, let's be honest here, one of our heroes, right?
One of the reasons why most people get into DayZ.
Yeah, I mean, the Running Man's has got to be a starting point for a lot of people. He still dominates algorithms on YouTube. That's where you're seeing him. He's killing it on Twitch. I mean, killing it is probably an understatement, really, isn't it?
I think it is. I mean, it's not like he's blown up, but obviously he is the OG of, like, DayZ. He is the pinnacle. He will be the people with the most amount of views on either YouTube and on Twitch when he's streaming.
No. I reckon after this podcast, we're going to get him some exposure. We're gonna introduce him to the players of DayZ. He needs this.
He does need this. I mean, he needs us more than we need him. That's what's going on here.
Right. Now, when you say that, you're aware that he's probably going to hear that and think that you're a dick.
Oh, he knows I'm a dick. He's probably listened. But in all fairness, though, this is something that we genuinely thought was out of our grips. And when he accepted our invitation to be our 100th episode, we were over the fucking moon.
Semis, mate. Semis. Can we say that? I mean, there's probably loads of new listeners. That's what you're getting with this show. Semis and chubs.
And I really hope the Zagorki bars were on here.
What, like a belly shot? This is the bullshit tax that we're talking about, right? We just chat shit all the time. We are non-serious. Right, anyway. Let's think about this, because what I'm thinking, this is our 100th episode. It's going to be a long one. We should probably skip all the bullshit that we usually do in the intro. Do you agree?
I always agree with you, Andy.
That's right.
That's what makes our relationship harmonious.
nothing to do with those photos that I blackmail you with.
Yeah, you will sign up for this episode. Oh no!
One thing I do want to mention at the very end of this episode. So we have a section at the end of the episode after we've finished the interview where we discuss the interview for like 5 minutes. But in that section, gonna give you some information about a cheeky little giveaway, a small competition, and to celebrate two things.
Yeah, and I have mentioned in the past it was gonna be a headset, but we have changed our direction to something so much better.
Listen here, right? I was streaming the other day and I was speaking to Sadistic Caesar, and we were discussing whether or not you'd done anything to get that competition up and running. And well, we made a bet, but it doesn't really make sense because we bet the same way. Now, would you mind telling us, have you done anything to get that competition up and running?
Yeah, I got the headset.
Fuck's sake, right. Anyway, I've got a fully fledged competition. It's not a headset. It's for Frostline and a little bit of merch. And you can find out the information at the end of this episode. Without further ado, Dave,
hit the intro.
Good morning.
Oh, I think you can hear me, yeah?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Hello. Yeah, morning. You all right?
Yeah, good. And you?
Yeah, I'm fine. I've been up a little while. I've already been doing some stuff, reviewed a video draft and stuff. So yeah, at least I'm awake, I suppose.
Dave, you there?
I'm always here. I'm just lurking.
Hello. You're right.
So, how are you doing?
So how's it going? Like this is like, how many people listen to a podcast? You know, I've no idea. I should know, shouldn't I? But I don't. I don't know.
It's going all right. It's you know, we've got a nice little community going on, and we've got our regulars, and we do like we stream every now. I think we stream like once a week or whatever, just to get that interaction with the with the people, and we just chat shit. Really, that's pretty much what we do. We're very loose with our. We're not strict at all. We do it for the love of it, mate. That's what we do.
No worries. Well, yeah, I'm ready when you are.
Hell yeah! Right, you ready, Dave?
I'm always ready. Stretching off.
Okay. Don't tell me what you're stretching. It's lucky we're not on camera, right?
Yeah, it's lucky. Yeah.
Prepare yourself for dick jokes. I'm sure you're not above that, Paul.
It's fine.
He loves a good old peen joke.
As long as I'm not below it, it's fine by me.
There we go. Right, let's do it. I've got an icebreaker ready. It's not the craziest icebreaker. However, let's go. What's the strangest thing you've eaten?
You're asking me to have any kind of memory. I ate bugs when I went to the DayZ thing in May,
flavored
millipedes and whatnot, or whatever they were, like those little worms and stuff. So I ate that. I'm not very adventurous. I don't like fish and like seafood and stuff. The little bugs. And I did have an MRE pack on that as well, like a proper MRE pack. That's the most cool thing I've ever eaten. It was really, really cool. Like a proper MRE pack where you're heating it up with the little, you put it in a little bag and then it sort of heats up the water and stuff. That was kind of cool. I'd never even seen one before, but yeah, that's probably the most interesting thing. Both DayZ related. That's kind of sad, right?
Not at all. That's why we're here, man. That's why we're here. I've got another one for you to gauge a person, Paul. To gauge a person, pineapple on pizza?
Yep. I like fruity pineapple. I like fruity pizzas. So if I'm getting an American style pizza, you know, like a deep sort of one, from Domino's or something, I like sort of veggie type pizzas, and pineapple on it is fine by me. Yeah. So I don't care if you don't like it or not. It works for me. So yeah. If I was in Italy, I wouldn't have pineapple on a pizza. But if I'm getting a takeaway pizza from Papa John's or something, it's fine by me. Yeah.
I was in Italy a few years ago and one of the best pizzas that I had out there, it had aubergine and purple broccoli.
Aubergine. What's the American for aubergine? They call it something else.
Eggplant.
Eggplant, yeah. There you go for the worldwide listeners. There's one for you.
That's an emoji for you.
My favourite pizza I ever had was in Italy. It was near Lake Maggiore, and it was done for tourists. It's like on the border with Switzerland, and it was just like a fairly plain pizza, and it had like some kind of German sausage, like sliced horizontally, so they were like long, thin strips of pizza. It was amazing. It was so good. I'd love to have that pizza again. It was like orgasmic.
Okay, cool. Well, there we go. Sorted. Bugs, basically, was the answer, yeah?
Yeah, bugs. It's kind of boring, but I'm not really one for eating strange things.
That's not boring. Who's eating? I say who's eating bugs. I had cockroach in France, which
you
is
had cock in France.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, cock au vin. I had a cockroach in France. They taste like bacon. It was like crispy.
It was actually something you bought. It wasn't just from your hotel room.
I just found that.
He's just got like a bag of sweets. People have Skittles and he has bugs.
Yeah, that sounds horrible. They say it's the future, right? They say it's the future, like the food of the future. But the population's meant to be going down, so maybe we won't have to eat bugs anymore. I don't know.
Maybe not. Maybe just we have to resort to some human fruit.
Yeah. Well, you're lucky you ate American MREs actually in Prague, because the British ones are not as nice.
So were you in the army, were you?
Yeah, 12 and a half years.
That makes sense, yeah. They were pretty good, actually. There was like all sorts of lovely stuff in there, little bits of fruit and nuts, and it was kind of cool. It was good. Needed it as well.
The British one of them, our main dish, the one that you'd pull out all the time, we used to call it corned beef gash because it is horrible, but it's corned beef hash. I reckon it's corned beef back from the war.
Yeah, well, thank you for your service.
Thank you for your horrible bowels.
The service and suffering.
Yeah. Oh,
right, so we've got this podcast set up in a couple of sections, right?
I remember you sent me like a list of things that might come up, and the last time I saw that was when I saw it when you sent it. this is all blind. I'm sure it'll be fine.
It's cool. However, to get through, because you've had such a long and prosperous career in Daisy and as a content creator, I'm going to fire off some quick fire questions for you, and I just want you to answer them as quickly as honestly as possible.
Okay.
Ready?
Yep.
They're not all Daisy related, though.
Sure.
Cheesecake or chocolate cake?
Chocolate cake.
Scout or SSG?
Scout, if you can get a suppressor, for sure.
Ooh. I never thought. Yeah, okay, fair enough.
It's so much better if you can get it, but you can't. But you can't.
It's there.
Plus a mag, plus an ACOG, you know.
Yeah.
Summer or winter Cherno? Churnerous. I'm going to get bullied for that now.
Don't say Cherno. God, it makes me sick in my mouth. I do it occasionally. No, I'm going to say regular Churnerous is the best Churnerous.
What's the most embarrassing thing that's happened to you on stream?
There's countless many. The other day I was shot like red health, and I went prone to avoid shots that were coming over my head, and I was just being covered by the tiniest ridge of land, and I had like 7 grenades, so I was laying prone, and I got a grenade and I unpinned it, and I was like, in my head at the time, I was like, I've got to throw it a long way, I'm going to stop him from running towards me, this is going to work. And so instead of tapping G and then holding trigger to charge the throw, I held G.
Yeah.
And it dropped on my chest and blew me up. So that was like a week ago, but
that's
there's countless examples of that.
That is my trick, man.
There's so many of those. That's the most recent one, but to be honest, they go in one ear and out of the other. Like when I first started streaming, I'd have been like a bit like, oh god, how do I look, it's so stupid. But at some point fairly early in streaming, that you realize that you're the butt of all the jokes, right? So it doesn't matter at all. Like, you're the butt of all the jokes, right? So if you kill yourself in a stupid way, who cares, you know? It's fine.
Yeah. It's for chat, you know, doing it for chat.
Doing it for the Vine.
Yeah, or you can just blame chat like streamers always do, including me. It's definitely just chat's fault, you know.
Scale of 1 to 10, how badly do you miss capri pants?
9. I used to wear them all the time. Mm. Yeah, 9. 9. I think it's a shame. A bit of a serious post, but all of the survival stuff that's come in terms of like needing heat clothing, like having to wear best in class to survive, makes cool survival mechanics, but it does make everyone a homogenized mirror image of each other when they're fully geared, you know. Yeah. I kind of miss a little bit of that. You could wear some cool stuff because you could just wear some cool stuff and stand out rather than looking like Action Man, but that's kind of gone a little bit, you know.
Agreed.
I think that was a moment. That was like a defining era of Daisy.
Yeah, maybe.
You tune in and you'd always, well, you just always have capri pants on. That would be it. That would just,
yeah, that was, I did like it. They were good. They were a good look, you know. Or a nurse's dress at the Northwest Airfield and no trousers, one or the other.
Which musical artist could you never get bored of?
Jarvis Cocker, as in Pulp.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, to him for sure. Like, I really like indie and that kind of music, but his lyrics and just the timing of a couple of the albums and how I was at the time, they for me, and his lyrics are beautiful, you know. Like there's a lyric in one of his songs, I think he did as a solo artist, there's something like, if your ancestors saw you standing there, they'd gaze in wonder at your frigidaire, you know. That his lyrics are just beautiful, you know. It's kind of cool.
Poetic.
The most annoying thing other players do in game.
Play music. would probably be the one. Yes, play music. Yeah. There's many, but playing music is just like, I got an entire YouTube stream copyright struck the other day because of some idiot playing about 15 seconds of music. It's like 9 hours long, you know, it's so annoying.
Did you ever get that your live streams kept getting struck because of your intro, right? Do you remember the moving?
Yeah, it's not been sorted out. It's Universal Music Group and it's some crappy video. Yeah. I can't sort it out. I tried to play it. So it's actually the video. It's not the song.
That's it.
The copyright strike in the video, but it's a canned intro that anyone can use. You can pay a license to adjust it. They've someone's made them a video and they're copyrighting striking my one and they don't own it either, you know. It's free to use across the whole of YouTube, but
that's insane.
Yeah, I just can't use my own intro at the moment. I've been considering copyright striking them back, but it won't go well. They're like a multinational conglomerate. And I think probably just not use it,
because I suggested that to you on Twitter. I sent you a screenshot of one of my copyright strikes. And it saw the difference where mine was for audio and yours was for video.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And as I said, just copyright strike them back. And but I get the reason not to.
It has occurred to me. I nearly did it the other day. I'm still working up the courage. But like their video came out in May. And I've been using this intro for 7 years on Twitch. Yeah. And I've been using it on YouTube since November of last year. So I've got plenty of evidence of me using it before them. Mm-hmm. But they don't know what they're doing. Nah. The YouTube bot is saying I'm using it. And they're just blankly copyright striking it. They don't know what can happen. And I've tried to message them. I've tried to email them. They don't care. It's just all automated. They're not. No human is involved. It just means I can't use my own intro. You know? Yeah.
No emotions involved, man.
No.
It's just the man, isn't it? The man bullying us.
The whole copywriting system was set up to protect people like Universal Music Group because it stops. They own a lot of music. So it kind of is set up to send them when other people are using their stuff. So the fact that I used it 6 months before they did is irrelevant to YouTube. It's like, oh, protect Universal Music Group, quick.
Yeah, that's their algorithm, isn't it?
Yeah.
How much do you enjoy playing evil mans?
I enjoy playing. I don't set out to be evil, but I enjoy it. I really love that about the game in general, is that in any given moment, you can just change and be however you want to be. So if I'm being friendly, it's because it feels the most fun in that moment. And if I'm being horrible, it's because it feels the most fun in that moment, you know? And so that's probably what I love about the game, is the freedom to just decide on the fly.
Yeah.
So I like being evil, but I never go at the start of the day and like, all right, today I'm going to be evil. It's going to be great. I just wait until I meet someone and for whatever reason it feels right, so the evil man's comes out, you know, a bit like turning into the Hulk or something, I don't know, but with a shit voice,
like an improv comedian. You're working off the moment.
An improv comedian that's not very funny, you know, not quite good enough to get on Whose Line Is It Anyway, you know.
Oh my god, I forgot about that show.
I know,
I think it's still on, and I think it might still be on in some places like America Land. Maybe
it's not going to be the same though, is it?
I think it's all the same people, I think.
Is it?
Oh my god. Groups and whatnot. I think it is. Yeah.
Oh shit! Is Colin? Was Colin the bald dude?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I can't remember it very much. It was a while ago, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah.
It was a minute. Yeah.
Josie Lawrence, and I think some of them still do it.
A throwback. Anyway, right. This was meant to be quickfire.
Anyway,
Eddie Hooser.
three old men reminisce about a show that's not been on for 20 years. That's just what everyone wants to hear.
This is the thing. This is meant to be a DayZ podcast, but we talk about everything else apart from.
Yeah. We refer to this as the bullshit tax.
Fair enough. There's plenty of that goes on my stream.
The tax be the tax, and they got taxed on that time. But all right, next one is curry or Chinese?
I'm going to have to say Chinese. I went to India in 2019, and when I was there, I had nothing but curry for breakfast, lunch and dinner every day for 9 days. And so I like curry, but Chinese is much, I just got put off it a little bit. Like if once you're having like some kind of dal for breakfast, you're just like, no, I had too much. I reached critical mass, as they say, in workplaces.
There's two more.
Yeah. What's the better film, Airplane or Hot Shots?
Hot Shots. I saw both when I was younger. I need to rewatch Airplane, but I really liked the Stallone films, right? And so I liked Hot Shots because of that, and I just enjoyed it more, and I liked it. I never really quite got Airplane because I was watching it when I was too young. I was a proper kid, right? So I should watch Airplane as an adult. Like most of the things Leslie Nielsen's in, I was too young when I was watching them to really understand it, you know? Like I could watch it now. Yeah. They're not particularly complicated, but I was crazily young. So I was watching it more as a film where there was problems with the plane, not really understanding most of the jokes or whatever. You know?
Yeah.
Isn't Airplane the one where they have like, don't say a airplane. The one image that comes to mind is, well, now the shit's really hit the fan, and then shit gets blown through a fan.
Yeah, literally,
that,
yeah.
That might be, yeah.
Is that that?
Obviously, I couldn't understand that when I was a kid. It's far too complex of a comedy moment.
Actually, do you know what? I saw a thing on TikTok the other day saying, since TikTok and little shorts come out, Leslie Nielsen's skits, are more funny now, because, there's loads of it going on YouTube and stuff. And
there is something to be said about films like that. They're a little bit like watching a stand-up that's doing one-liners. They're just what they're scattergun at you, one after the other after the other, and they get a bit they can get a bit overawing, a bit like seeing Jimmy Carr live. You feel like you're being shot by a machine gun, and sooner or later you've had enough, you know.
Yeah,
I guess the correct answer, by the way, between Hot Shots and Airplane, the correct answer is Spaceballs.
Yes.
Jesus. That's the one. Jesus Christ, that's a throwback.
And the last one is VMC or Kamensk.
They're both horrible places.
Disgusting places.
If you rolled back the years, if I could have it back like what it used to be, as they say, then VMC. But I don't go to VMC anymore. The loot shit. I don't go. I haven't been to VMC to actually want anything forever. So Kamensk.
Ooh, yes.
Done. I think we have to agree with you on that. We always just get lit up in VMC. We've put a ban on going there because every time we go there, we just die out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's just the loot's kind of crap. Yeah. By the time you're there, there's better loot. The airfield's behind you, and it's safer now. VMC used to be safer to loot than the airfield back in the day, right? Now the airfield's quite big, and there's areas you can get a little bit lost in. It's safer to loot some of the airfield than it is to loot VMC, so I don't go. I normally overwatch it from the low walls, see a player, and then I run down and that player's vanished, and then I run away again. That's usually what happens at VMC for me now.
Me and Andy have got a blanket ban on VMC since our official run. We haven't been there since.
Okay.
We were fully geared and we ran back to VMC from the airfield, and let's just say a sporter killed us from 1,000 miles away while we were inside a container.
Yeah, that's not great. Yeah.
And we were like, no. No, VMC's done for us.
I don't think you can necessarily blame VMC for that one.
No, it was 100% it was VMC.
Definitely VMC, yeah.
100%. Yeah.
100%. There's some cool memories there, but most of my cool memories of VMC are from 2014 to 17-ish, I think. I remember once rushing a barrack in VMC, and there was two players inside, and this is in the old game, and they kind of shot it. They were either side of the door of a double door barrack, and I ran past them, and one shot the other, and then I killed the last one as he shot me. So they were both dead. The doors were closed because I closed them as I ran in.
Yeah.
And I was unconscious in the barrack for 23 minutes before I woke up.
Oh, my God.
That was in the days where the Oncon timer wasn't like it is now. You know, you had to wait until you got... So if you were starving and you would never wake up, but I was regenerating health until I got to a certain point, and then I woke up 23 minutes later.
I never knew that was a thing.
No, it was, yeah. It wasn't like now where it's just shock value. You had to get above a certain level before you woke up again.
I still think it's way too long in certain situations, especially on the vanilla side of life.
Well, Uncon.
Yeah.
I think being shot unconscious is slightly too short, if I'm honest. If you get hit by a zombie, you're unconscious for 40 seconds, but you get hit by a Mosin, you're unconscious for about 7. You know, it's stupid. If someone shoots you uncon from, say, 80 meters away and you fall behind a bush or behind a little wall, you get the advantage. They can't close the gap to you. They just got a shot on you, but you wake up, get your assault rifle out, and then when they come around the corner, they probably die, you know?
So it should be the other way around.
If you've shot someone uncon, you should have time to close the gap from around 75, 80 meters, and then decide if you hold the player up or not, not close the gap and they have an advantage.
Friendly?
At Tanger Outlets, find all the best brands all on sale every day. Step into the season's newest arrivals and save big on the styles you love. Shop Under Armour, Michael Kors, Crocs, and more. With up to 70% off plus an extra 25% off for a limited time. Hurry in for amazing deals from the brands you love. Only at Tanger Outlets.
So, real questions. Let's talk a little bit about you, Paul. I know you're really looking forward to this section of the show, right?
It's just, it'll be an any day kind of thing, I'm sure. Regular viewers will probably have already heard all the answers, I suspect. Of me, I mean.
I've tweaked some of these questions because I'm in your stream pretty much every time you're on. So I see a lot of them anyway. And I've tried to tweak them. So maybe they're slightly different to what we might really see in your chat.
Okay, we'll see.
So yeah, we'll see. So do you think there was a defining moment in your career that projected you to becoming one of the most successful DayZ content creators?
No.
Next question.
I think for me, it's been a real gradual thing, like a snowball rolling down a hill. Yeah. It's been a lot of little things over a long period of time. Mm-hmm. I didn't blow up in overnight. You know, like I think the most defining moment I can think of, and I did talk about this the other week on stream, there's a video I did really early on called 33 Grenades in One Ammo Box. And it's a terrible video, like all of my videos were back then, arguably still now. I don't know. But anyway, I'd had this moment in Svetlo where I killed a hacker with an axe, and then they had an ammo box, and inside the ammo box was four grenades and an ammo box, and in that ammo box was four grenades and an ammo box, and it went on till there was like infinity really, but there was about 33 grenades, and at that time you couldn't suicide and you couldn't there was no F11, so I took all the hacked loot and I threw all the grenades and made them all blow up, and I got rid of all of the loot, and then I went to kill myself to get rid of the loot that I'd taken that was on me, and I just thought I'd start again. I was a new spawn with an axe, so I might as well just run off into nowhere where no one can find the body, and then suicide, right? And I found this little spot and some rocks, but just south of Baziki. I tried to blow myself up with the last grenade and it had got shut under the ground, and so it didn't work. And so I was laughing about that, and I was just kind of a funny moment. And as I stepped backwards off this rock and suicided, right, I was just looking at the sunset and the game was beautiful, and I was on these rocks overlooking the sea quite close to Baziki. Baziki wasn't there then, it was just land, it didn't exist then in the game. But and as I suicided, I like just the little story of that, the little encounter was like, God, this game is amazing. There's so much story in this game. I actually think I could be a YouTuber, you know? So that was the moment where I had that thought. I actually could do YouTube, and I think there's something in this game that I can tell with some kind of story. If I can recreate how I feel right now in a video, I think that would be cool. I think people might watch it. And so that was the inspiration, if you like.
Yeah.
I don't know. I fell into it. I didn't intend to be a YouTuber. I met some people that were doing it and they convinced me to have a try. I didn't intend to be a streamer. I started streaming once a month and somebody in the chat said, you seem really good at this. Why aren't you doing it more? So I was like, actually, I probably could do it a bit more. And then 2 months later, I was partnered, you know, or 3 months later, actually. But it was more of a by luck than judgment kind of thing, I think.
I don't know. That sounds like a defining moment to me.
Yeah, there's been quite a lot over the... the very first DayZ status report that ever was, my video was shared on that. It was called... I can picture the thumbnail. I can't remember what it was called, actually. But the very first one there was, the community manager liked my videos, but I was much of a lesser-known creator in those days, and he chose my video for that. And when I applied for partnership, I used that link to the DayZ thing. I was like, look, I've been shared on there, I've gone up this amount. So you have to make a case back then for partnership. It wasn't like now. So that kind of helped as well. So that was maybe another one.
You said something interesting about losing your character on stream recently. It was like a couple of days ago. You said most of the fun engagements you've had have been on the coast. Without dying, you wouldn't have had like the Trumpet Brothers, for example. Does that mindset play a part in how you tackle situations? Let's say if you're in Tissy or you're about to get into a gunfight, for example.
No, I think I've always had the same mindset, which was... all or nothing. I think I've always had that way. I used to be a gambler, as people may know. It might come up later, maybe. I don't know. But I've always had that all or nothing mindset to DayZ. Even before I ever made a video, if someone shot at me, I'd see it through and either they would die or I would. Even if there was four of them and I had a pistol or whatever, you know, like I've always had that, because what else is the game for? You know, like you might play for 6 hours and then have this encounter. And if you don't take the encounter, you might play another 6 hours and not get one. So I'd rather lose and try than not try and then piss about going somewhere else to look for some loot I don't really need because I've already got a bag full.
Nice. Yeah, that makes sense, right? I mean, that's the question that we always get asked. We get like a lot of new players into our community that ask us questions, etc. And one of the biggest things, like, how the hell do you get over gear fear? And we get the same answer every time. It's just die, run, die, repeat, isn't it?
Like, yeah,
it's exactly that.
You get that. And I guess as a YouTuber, I don't really get gear fear. But if I'm on a character that's really trying for something that's going to make an amazing video, then you can kind of get content loss fear. If that makes sense.
Okay.
For example, I spent 3 months trying to do the Deer Isle quest a year and a half back, I think it was, trying to get to the boat and to do everything you needed to get the snow owl. And it took me 3 months to do it. And the first time I got in the room, I blew myself up with a grenade after spending like 8 weeks trying to do it. And then I suicided by accident in the room where I'd finally done it, you know? Like, so I had to try again. Another time I got killed by a bug where the server restarted and I was in the crypt and it dropped me down and killed me, you know? Like, there were so many things that led. So when I finally did it, the fear of then not getting a kill. I had another one where I just got the snow owl and I got back to the mainland and somebody in the chat said, "What does the scope look like?" So I aimed down the scope to show them. And as I aimed down the scope and stood still, somebody killed me. Oh. So I had so many near misses. By the time I finally got the snow owl and was trying to get a life where I got some kills with it, the pressure that I felt was nothing to do with the snow owl and everything to do with 3 months of trying to get this damn video made. You know, the upside is you can make a lot of, "I tried to do this quest and failed," you know.
Oh, there you go.
Like I did a 4-part series with Uncooper, who does my editing, but there was a 4-part series I did that ended with me accidentally killing myself with grenades. The whole point of the series was to get the snow owl, and the ending was me blowing myself up, you know.
All right, that wasn't that long ago, was it? I think I remember that. Was it this year or last year?
It was about a year and a half ago, I think. I don't know the timeline exactly, but I think it was October-ish 22, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I remember that series.
Yeah, it was good videos. I say that because I didn't edit them. I don't tend to pick up my own edits.
He is good, though, isn't he?
But Deer Isle is such a good bat, though, to get content creator, on.
Is. I'm quite excited for they've tweaked that quest because I have kind of just like given up on it a little bit, maybe because trying to do the quest as it currently is almost impossible if you're doing it to an audience on stream. It's just, there's a few too many steps to make it feel viable. Yeah. So I think it's changing.
Yeah, I think the hammer's split into two pieces now as well, isn't it?
Yeah, you have to go to Mount Katahdin to get like a suit to find a part of the hammer that's under the sea. And apparently they're taking the swimming section out. On that subject, John McClane does some amazing work for Daisy. He's really support map creators, including John McClane and others.
Oh yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hey, Azalea playtest is soon.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I have a fear that might have some competition, but I don't know. We'll have to wait and see in terms of what's out at the time to play. Yeah.
Well, I think the Azalea playtest is first week of October.
Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah.
But I can't remember the date, so I'm not going to say it.
No, yeah. No. I think it might be the 3rd of October, but don't quote
me on
like
that. Yeah.
Yeah. For those who don't know, you used to work in retail as an area manager. Whilst there, did you have aspirations to become a content creator, or like, are you just playing the games for fun?
Well, I used to play Call of Duty and I got kind of bored of it. So I was a console player and I switched to DayZ from watching Frankie on PC's videos and started playing DayZ. I had no aspirations to be a content creator, really. No, I just switched to PC gaming for DayZ. And then the game created the urge to make the content, if that makes sense. So the game came first. Yeah. So as much as I've been doing it for 10 years, when I talk about the game, people may not agree with this, but I still feel like I talk like a fan of DayZ, not a streamer of DayZ. When I talk about feedback for the game, I couldn't give a shit if it's better or worse for my stream. I care about the game more so than I care about what it does for my stream. For example, nighttime, you know, nighttime being dark is a problem, but I think it should be a thing. You know, I think the game matters a lot more, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To be fair, we've interviewed some people along the way. I don't know if you've listened to our episodes, but like one minute we've got like Holly Rex, who's an absolute in awe of the game. She loves it and she's loving streaming at the moment. And next minute we get a content creator that does YouTube videos that's now doing it full time, is finding it a grind and getting that content creator's sort of pressure, and he's sort of struggling with it. So it's actually really nice to hear that actually you enjoy the game overpowers your content creator sort of
when I started out, I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know if I would be successful, but I was sort of thinking about what I wanted to do with my channel, and there was a few things that really struck, and the main two were I wanted to play the game how I found it fun and try to relay that in some way. And the second one was that I just wanted to be me and I didn't want to be a character this is long before I was a streamer, but I was like, I'll just be me. And if that me is enough, great. And if it's not, so be it. So I tend to have adopted that thereafter, you know. So like my stream titles aren't really trying to catch people because of the new thing, or I'm playing on a new map, or I'm just streaming. And I just like, I'm playing Churnerus today. Would you like to watch, kind of thing? You know, there's not much more than that, but yeah, Daisy's my favorite game of all time, without a shadow of a doubt. I don't think I could play it 40 hours a week were I not streaming, but I really love streaming. So streaming Daisy is something I enjoy a lot. I have a bad day once in a blue moon, but that is always related to IRL stuff. And then you're trying to put on a stream whilst pretending you're not crumbling in real life, kind of thing. So that can happen, but the actual process of streaming most of the time is great. I really enjoy it.
Oh, fair play.
So I'm guessing I've crossed out my next question already because I think you kind of answered it. But picking up Daisy in the first place, was that because you had just seen it on YouTube, and or had you heard about Daisy to begin with?
I used to play Call of Duty from Modern Warfare 2 until COD Ghosts on PlayStation 3. And I was kind of bored. COD Ghosts was not good. Most people consider it, or a lot of people consider it, to be the worst one. That came out just as the PS4 had come out. So I bought a PS4. I bought COD Ghosts. This was in maybe October, November time of 2013.
Yeah.
In the process of playing the game, you watch a load of YouTubers like you do. So I was watching a YouTuber that did COD videos called JX23 at the time. And he had a video, because Standalone had just come out. So he did a video talking about DayZ Standalone and the concept. Now, the video wasn't his, he wasn't really a DayZer. So, but he explained the concept of DayZ in the video. And I'd never heard of it. And I heard the concept and I was like, you can meet people and just do what you want. It's not just a leaderboard and getting kills and chasing a leaderboard and running back, and you're doing search and destroy. I'm running down the left side and then I die. Yeah, I run down the left side and then I die. I run down the left side, then they die.
It's the opposite, isn't it, actually?
Yeah, it was the freedom, the explanation of the game was amazing. So I was like, that's great. And the video finished, and the next thing that was recommended was the first of Frankie on PC's 40-odd series of Arma 2 Daisy. So December of 2013, I watched the entire series and then bought Daisy Standalone on Steam about the 28th or 29th of December and started playing it from about the 2nd of January 2014. And so, yeah, that's how I got into it.
Ah, well, it was a question worth asking then.
It was, yeah.
Many people are saying that the players like kind of want a more PvP kind of type feel to the game rather than the adventure. You know, with like the popularity of high pop servers with like Rearmed and what's that? Is Down Bad? Is that? That's a server, isn't it?
Yeah, Down Bad servers, yeah.
Yeah, so people are saying that the players want a more PvP focus from DayZ. What are your thoughts on that? Because obviously you're more adventure-based, right?
I think that what matters is that the devs make the game they want to make, right? Rearmed is a great thing, and it's already there. Right. Yep. Just because it's popular, it doesn't mean the devs should shift. Because if they'd done that, they would have started making a battle royale 8 years ago and wouldn't have Rearmed today. You know, it doesn't do any good for developers to try and shift the balance of their game towards a particular area. They're making DayZ the survival game, but part of their company ethos is to build up a modding support system that allows the community to create whatever they want. If it wasn't that, we wouldn't have DayZ, because it came from Arma 2 and they're ethos regarding modding created DayZ in the first place, you know. So the devs should focus on making the game they want. If that's a hardcore survival game, they should make that, and then the community can have whatever they want anyway, you know. And thanks to all the modders and all of the people that put the work in and host the servers and so on, you know. But the key is that DayZ make the original vision for the game. That's what Bohemia should focus on, not try to tweak it towards whatever feels the most popular now. Because if they'd done that, we wouldn't be here today. They would have made a different game 6 years ago. Never mind today. You know, you can't be that reactive. Otherwise, you don't get the game made at all.
It's been like 10 years now on PC. Did you expect it to gain in popularity like it has done in the last year? Or did you expect it to slowly dwindle down?
There were times when I was worried it was dwindling down, but it wasn't a year or two ago. It was in 2017 and 18 and around then, you know, like, there were times when it was peaking at around 2,000 players in a day. And like, I was streaming it for a living at that time. I might have had 300 to maybe 500 people watching at a guess. I can't remember it exactly. But if I had 400 people watching, that was 20% of the entire play base, you know, on the day, you know. So it was at that time, yes, when we were around 0.62, which was for like a year and a half of nothing. While they developed the engine in the background, there was just no updates at all. Around then, yes, but I think DayZ as a game is a niche game. It's probably always going to be a niche game, but it's consistently got better, but from both the devs and also from the modding community and other areas too. And I didn't foresee it being this popular now, but I had so much faith in the game that I felt it was go the right way. But there was a time certainly when I thought it might all come crumbling down for sure, but it was like 6-7 years ago. ago, probably.
I think that's super unique to DayZ. It's 10 years old, yet we get monthly updates now. You know what I mean? They're still actively working on this game that's...
I honestly don't think that was the intention when it released in 2019, but I think the modding community creating some stuff to keep interest. I'm not taking away from the devs here. The devs have been updating the game 5 or 6 times a year, every year, 4 or 5 to 6 times a year, every year, and they've done a really big job. But I think in combination with the modding community, it injected a bit more interest. Mm-hmm. And because more people were playing the game, more people were buying the game, and then they've carried on developing it. They are still developing DayZ on a shoestring, though. The Bohemia have been quite careful about only keeping it chugging along, you know. They could have more developers on it, but it is an old project, so they've probably got more developers on other things, you know. But yeah, I think it, to be where we're at now is very good. And when it launched in 2019, I thought it would be done development wise in 2021. They said years ago that they would develop it for 5 years post release. That changed. They were then talking about 2 years post release, and things were looking very, very grey. And then I think the fact that it's gradually improved in popularity has allowed them to feel confident in keeping it going to the point where we are now. And Talos, who's in charge of the whole DayZ project, was talking about the next decade of DayZ in May. So they're not just thinking about Frostline, they're thinking about 10 years worth. So there'll be other things to come, whatever they are, you know.
No, that's really good to know. Like, because obviously me and Andy come in when the console kicked off. So we sort of were one of the parts of resurgence of the game. Because obviously I believe that when the console was added a little bit of injection of fresh life into the game.
It definitely did. And I think as much as at the time it felt like things were being rushed for the console, the game was released far too early. Like, it wasn't allowed to be released on PlayStation until it was called 1.0, right? So they pushed everything so early. They launched before it was ready. But in hindsight, like, as much as we were all critical of it, I was very critical of the state of DayZ in 1.0, right? But that release really was smart, because it did bring in a load of new people, and a load of those people have converted from console to PC, you know? Like, they started on console and then they got PC so they could play Deer Isle or Namask or whatever, you know? Like,
it was smart.
And it did make a big difference. Yeah, it opened the game up to a whole load of new eyes that weren't there before.
I think I remember we had that same conversation when we interviewed Lad, didn't we, Dave? He said, like, the community just almost revolted against BI at that stage. So, like, what are you doing? The game's broken. You're calling it 1.0. And he's now, what is he? He's like a junior artist or something, isn't he, at BI?
Yeah, he's a nice guy, actually. I met him briefly. I met him briefly in May. He's a nice dude. He was there. He was there at the weekend, and he was actually starting on the Monday that we were flying back. So he was there for some of the weekend in Prague, but he'd not actually started yet. You know?
Yeah, he's nice for a northerner.
Yeah, I suppose so. I was born in Burnley.
Oh, you're lovely for a northerner.
Well, I moved down south when I was about 9, so I feel like I'm from Suffolk.
Yeah.
We'll forgive you.
So you're quite vocal while streaming about certain aspects of the game that you feel need to be sort of worked on. One thing that you would overall change about the base game, and why?
Right now, even above hackers, it's the spawn system on vanilla. It's shocking. The spawn system has spoiled the game in a massive way.
Absolutely. I get the idea of it. I absolutely get the idea. But what ends up happening is you get 6 people spawning in the same town for 6 minutes. And then they all kill each other because they're all freshies and they don't give a fuck. So then they all spawn in the next town for six minutes and they do the same thing again. It just creates absolute chaos in the coastal towns, right?
Yeah, it's just spoiled the game. It seems the most anti-DayZ decision that the devs have ever made. And I don't say that lightly, because I try not to... I'll state my opinion, but I try not to say that the devs have made a bad decision. Because by and large, I tend to believe the devs know more about what they're doing than we do. Right. But I'm pretty sure they've got other things in mind for the spawn system. But right now, it's not just that. It's like, even if you survive the 6 minutes of Kamishovo boxing, but in every spawn, you then got like a couple of other survivors that are ahead of you on the spawn route. They've already done it. You go to the police station and it's already been looted. You go to the medical, there's dead zombies there. It's been looted. Yeah. If you're in Berezino, you go up to Kelm and you go to the well, but there's dead zombies there. You go to the summer camp, someone's been there. It's like starting hot dropping in a battle royale with everyone 2 minutes ahead of you. You know, it's really meted the game, and it's just not in the spirit of it to me. And it's something I'm really overly passionate about, but an encounter, if you spawn in, I don't know, in Electro, and you randomly bump into another new spawn, it feels precious. You might end up killing each other, or you might team up. But it feels
a precious murder.
It feels like a cool moment, and it could go any which way. But if you know you're in a full server and you know you're going to spawn in next to a load of another new spawns, it loses that feeling of being a truly random Daisy encounter. It feels staged, you know, like, why not have like 2 hours later, like everyone just gets moved to the Northwest airfield so they can shoot each other, you know, like that would be utterly ridiculous. But the spawn system is too, you know, like, and I'm sorry, it's meant to be for squads to help, but if you're playing with a friend and it takes you an hour to meet up, tough. that's part of DayZ, you know, it's part of the journey. Your journey to your friend is part of your adventure, whether you like it or not. That's part of the game, you know.
That was going to be my next question, because obviously it was intended for friends to get together sooner. You know, what if they maybe dove into your friends list on Steam or something like that? You'd still be against that.
Well, not really. What I think would be nice is if they had a system whereby you could have a choice between the group spawn or a randomized spawn. We've already got choose your character kind of option, but I'd like to be able to have a completely random spawn and not the same one everybody else gets. I don't think it would be good for the game. And I understand why, and people want to be grouped up. But even if they have that, why is it fair that, say, three people spawn in together in Berezino, and then one other person spawns in Berezino, they are now meta to bump into three because the game wants to help three people. They've already got three. They're already likely using Discord. Why do they get any more advantage over the hapless poor guy that spawned or girl that spawned in the same town, you know? They're going to get bullied by that squad that spawned in altogether, you know? Like, I just don't think it's very DayZ-like. It's not in the original spirit of the game for me. If you want to play with three, you've already got Discord. You have to spend an hour meeting up. Tough shit. Maybe it's harsh, but we've all done it. I had mates in 2014. I didn't really know the map, and we went through the hardship of meeting up. If that puts you off DayZ, well, it's meant to be quite tricky. Maybe DayZ's not for you.
That's a fair point. Me and Andy are actually going to contemplate doing one where we don't talk on Discord and we just designate a place before we play and then get there. Do you know what I mean? So I'll be holding down, say, Pollyanna, waiting for Andy to turn up.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. With the radios having reasonable range, I've done that once or twice over the years. I don't know if I did it with Doc Dreist once. I might have done it with Rene. I can't remember, but I've done it. And it is fun. It's fun. You have to, like when you die, you get a radio and you have to have an agreed meetup point or something, you know?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, and an agreed, range on the radio. Sort of frequency. Yeah, that's a fair point. So the next question I've got for you, how was Prague and how did it feel being a part of a small group of content creators that were hand-picked out by the devs?
Well, it was a double-edged sword because for everybody that got picked out, there was people that weren't, and there was lots of people that deserved to go. And I think also with things like this, there's always a bit of an element of they picked the streamers and YouTubers, but they didn't pick others, and that's always going to be the case. So from the negative side first, I was really pleased to go, but there's always a little bit of a I've been invited but so and so hasn't, you know. There's a little bit of like, oh, it's a shame kind of thing. But in terms of being picked, I was very, very made up. I've been doing it a long time, but I still remember what it was like when I started, you know. And I remember what it felt like when the DayZ devs followed me on Twitter and the first time I ever met one or whatever, you know, like, so to be invited was a crazily cool thing. And it was really nice to meet some of the people that work on the game. The actual setting of it was both amazing and horrendous equally, like where they had us going in this like camp thing. And it was cool to meet some other creators as well, like people like the Fresh Spawns and Lax and many others as well. Pretty much everybody was there, you know. Not met any of them before aside from Minder off the top of my head. I briefly met HB actually as well. I'd met him in 2016 for about an evening. Mm. But it was cool to meet people and like, it was really kind of good. Like, there was a lot of camaraderie in the weekend. And to then find out about Frostline in that way, it was really nice to be there. And I think it was cool of Bohemia to share it, all right, not with everybody, but they shared their presentation on the new DLC with some people that had been in the game for a long time and not just the press. You know, I think that was cool. You know, they could have gone another way. I think that was nice of them to do.
Well, that segues perfectly into our next section where we talk all about Frostline. Friendly! Moving on to the next update. DayZ hosted a stream last week, giving us the release date and the price for Frostline. First question about the Frostline DLC. How do you pronounce Sakal?
Sakal.
Perfect.
That's how, yeah. Wonderful. Sakal, as far as I know. Or Sakal. I think it's Sakal for me, though. But apparently they've gone with Frostline because the name can mean other things in certain languages. So they called it Frostline. because of that, calling it Sarkal would have been a bit tricky in certain countries, I think. But
why don't they just call it something else then?
Well, yeah, there is that. I think also if you look at the armor updates, they always have DLC with a name, and then they have the product on inside the DLC. So maybe they're starting something that might carry on, you know. So they've got Frostline, and then maybe they might have, I don't know, like whatever, Tropical Line, I don't know.
Hotline,
so, yeah.
Livonia was called Enoch, weren't it?
Yeah, in development it was. But the DLC was called Livonia when it dropped, so it didn't have a name.
Yeah, it was just the standalone. This is just a map. So when they announced Frostline, I assumed because of the difference between Frostline Sarkal and then the Livonia release, I thought Frostline might open up a door maybe to more than just Sarkal. Potentially, there could be something additional to it. We don't know. They haven't led us to believe that at all. I'm just overthinking it, I think. But yeah, they have done it differently.
Yeah, I don't think there's much more than like 126 with the boats and whatnot. I don't think there's anything else personally. It would be nice, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be the, if not the biggest update since like the last DLC, but I think this is going to be bigger knowing that actually console guys can join us on the first day of a full-on release.
I think it's going to be bigger. I think it's going to be the bigger one of any update they've had so far. The timing is right. It's coming into sort of shorter days. More people will be gaming. Yeah. I'm sure we'll see like all-time peak player base records between November and January. Same as last year, but this year I'm sure we'll see that again, you know.
I think we're at like 75K at the moment. I think that's the record, somewhere around that area, isn't it?
And it broke itself over and over again last year. But obviously, more people play in the Northern Hemisphere winter. So it'll happen again, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's if our internet stays up with all the flooding and stuff.
Oh, yeah. What has it been like where you are? Have you had loads of floods?
Thankfully, in Suffolk, we don't get a great deal of rain, so we don't normally get bothered by it here. It's one of the driest counties, so not really.
Yeah, Norfolk's one of the wettest counties, and Suffolk's one of the driest, like completely polar opposites.
Yeah, we do tend to avoid it mostly. It's kind of cool.
Shit.
Yeah, we got smashed, didn't we, Andy?
Absolutely smashed, and then we got rained on.
Yeah.
So since you'll be playing Sarkal before its official release, what are you looking for in those first few days?
I don't know. I'm looking forward to getting lost and finding things for the first time. You know, that's one of the cool things about this is that you can have first moments, right? It's one of the double-edged swords of it is that you're streaming it, so you might be costing other people first moments, but no one's forced to watch the stream, you know?
That's true,
But I'm looking forward to it. So I've actually, this might not be great for this podcast, but I've avoided most of the info. I don't read the dev updates about Sarkal. You know, I spent years reading every update about DayZ. Years and years and years, but because it's a new thing, I want to just go in with my eyes open and see, like, I understand there's a few new buildings and they've shared a few pictures, but I've not seen those, you know, like, just as one example, right? I want to be like turning a corner and seeing something I've never seen before and be surprised by it because I really do enjoy DayZ. And so whenever I play a new map, I like that, I feel a bit bad because I do absolutely no research. Like if a new map's come out, I don't go to the Discord. I don't find out who develops it because if I do, I'm also going to find out about the map and I don't want to. I want to go in and then get lost in the map because that first few days is the best when you're just following a power line, hoping it will lead somewhere. And it also gives you an idea of how the map is because you're not getting it from meta. You're like just using your sort of DayZ brain to navigate and then maybe find an in-game map or whatever. And it's just really fun. I really love that. So I'm looking forward to getting lost in a map that's got more survival challenges and just seeing where that goes, you know, like maybe up a volcano or something. I don't know.
Well, you've been playing, you know, without a spoiler alert. There is no spoiler here. It looks great. Like they've done things that they haven't done before, which look incredible.
Yeah, and I've seen the video from, obviously we saw Sumrak play it on the day. So I've seen some of it. Mm-hmm. I watched a Wobo video about the way that the cold is going to turn into pneumonia.
Yes.
So I've seen a little bit, but I've tried to avoid some of that, but I get spoilers. People come into the chat. I know a lot of the stuff, but in text form or you telling me now, it's not the same as watching a video, you know. So it's after Wobo's put out a video or the devs have put out an update and then Wobo's put out a video and Marks and so on, people will come into the chat and want to talk about it. So I hear a lot of the stuff. It's not like I don't know what's coming, but at least I can just wait and see it kind of thing, you know.
Absolutely, man. I think it's going to be a good experience. I mean, how do you this without I'm trying to how do I phrase this question?
I don't know what's in your head.
Who does?
Nobody does, yeah.
How do you feel about playing Sarkal for the first time, such a big release, but playing it when it's only released to a select certain amount of people?
Yeah, it's a contentious subject. That subject came up on stream yesterday. I think there are two sides to it, and I understand both, and people will feel differently on it. But I can say, for example, when Scum released, I think it came out on a Wednesday or a Thursday, and I could play it and showcase it to an audience from Monday, for example. And Scum did that, and it didn't hurt them. They sold a million copies in the first few weeks. It might not be my game, but it worked for them, you know. And seeing it from the dev side first, trying to pay one of the top tier streamers, we're talking creme de la creme level, an hourly rate for a streamer to play your game, you're talking about $10,000+ an hour.
Really?
Right. Easily. So you, and some charge more than that. You know, I know a streamer, I'm not going to name them, but a top tier streamer, which would be more like $20,000 an hour, right? So
yes, sir.
The idea that they should release it to everyone and then market it by playing the top tier streamers that kind of money is fair enough, you know, but if they do an early access and streamers can play it, I think that is, from their point of view, very, very good marketing that doesn't cost them any money. You know, like PUBG, when it first released, it released over 4 weekends and they allowed streamers in and they had streamers showcase the game and then they gave streamers keys to give away. So it did have people coming in via the streams. That's how they gave the keys away.
Yeah.
But it launched PUBG. They got all of that marketing for free, you know, like that's kind of a little bit like we were talking about going to Prague in May. They are inviting only a certain section into Prague, and they're likely to do this, and it's going to be for creators. But from their point of view, there's a reason, because those creators can offer something in return, you know, like they're going to give them free marketing, you know.
They're
getting, from Bohemia's point of view, they're getting a showcase to the game. And they're getting people to see it. And there'll be a group of people that know they want to buy Sarkal and they want to play it and they won't be interested in the streams. And that's great, you know. But there'll be a much bigger group of people that are not sure if they want to buy it or not.
Oh, you think?
Of course they will. For any product, you'll be like, I'm going to wait. So many people won't pre-order, right? They'll wait until the day of release and then make their mind up based on what they see on stream. So many people do that, right? Not DayZ hardcores, but DayZ sold millions and millions of copies. They'll sell, who knows, 250,000 copies, hopefully, instantly to DayZ hardcore fans. But how many more have bought the game? You know, there'll be millions of people that might buy it.
Yeah.
And those people will want to see it.
So you're talking about the guys sitting on the knife edge. You reckon that with you and the guys that are selected that are playing it a couple of days before, they'll tip them over the edge to buy it. Like basically,
or not, you know, but it feeds into that. And I don't know anything about, I hear that there's going to be an early release, but I don't know how much of an early release. It might be that they do an early release that's specifically for DayZ streamers. So you have to have already streamed DayZ before. So it's a little bit more community driven. And then they might have a second phase where it's for anybody with a certain size of a channel, or they might just go, well, 2 days before anybody can play it or whatever, who knows, you know, but we'll have to wait and see. But from the dev's perspective, I completely see it. From my perspective, I'm more than happy to play it. I really want to play it. Obviously, it's in my self-interest to showcase the map, but it doesn't feel wrong, given that it's got a release date of the 15th, to do that, you know, like it doesn't feel wrong. But from the community's perspective, I can completely see, like, you're allowed to play this and I'm maybe going to see spoilers, but I can't play it until the 15th. So I don't know when it's going to come out. Let's say it came out on the 7th of October or something for us to play it a week in advance, or the 8th of October. It's going to piss a few people off, but whatever they do, it's going to piss a few people off, because that's the reality of anything. They will release it. Some people are going to be annoyed. Whatever they do, someone's going to be annoyed. So they might as well release it and get a load of free marketing rather than pay people crazy amounts of money, you know?
So you don't know when your first stream of it's going to be?
No, nobody knows. I could have a guess, but I'm not going to.
Okay, all right. I feel like that was a good opportunity for some exposure for you, you know, Paul, like, because...
Well, we're not getting any insider information at all. They didn't tell anyone until the same day, I believe, that when they released Frostline on Friday, they told people. I was just a little bit lucky that about 8 days prior, I emailed somebody and said, I'm booking a holiday. I need to book the dates. If I give you the dates, can you tell me if that would be bad or not? I wasn't asking for anything other than that.
Yeah.
And then from the reply, I managed to glean a little bit more information reading between the lines as to what was going on, you know?
Fair point. That's good. It was good to, because when Andy was like, oh, can you hold off from the first time we planned it? And I was just like, yeah, that's cool, because I'm currently at a doctor's appointment. My injuries just carried on a little bit longer than I thought.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you're on the mend.
Yeah. This knee's great.
Yeah. So I don't want to be all like acting like I'm getting loads of insider information. They really don't share much with us in ahead of advanced of stuff. You know, they did with the Frostline release in Prague, right? But they don't share a load of inside track, because it's just a risk for them to have it out. Someone could accidentally put it in a Discord and then it gets out to the world, you know? So yeah. I got a slight nod because I was looking to book a holiday with the missus and I didn't want to book it and then find out it was the week Frostline came out, you know? But it wasn't really much more than that.
Our mate Wes is, he's gutted. He's absolutely gutted, because I think all of the previous big releases have been towards the end of October, November. I think that's like when 119 came out with like the Livonia Bunker, that kind of stuff. It all comes out around that time. And he's booked a holiday to go to Japan.
Yeah. Oh, that's a cool place to go.
He books holiday to play the game. And this time he booked a holiday to go somewhere like really big. And now it's been poo-pooed.
Well, I've had that experience a lot over the years. Like, not with big releases, but for me, any update is quite a big deal. I need to be on the day it releases. And in the last 3 or 4 years, they seem to do updates a lot during Easter holidays, half-term breaks, intentionally. And maybe they don't, but they seem to have releases. All the amount that I reckon it's more than 50-50 that they've released something when my kids are here and I can't stream, you know? So I've got quite good at like trying to, I've always been quite good at predicting when releases will be because they're normally when I can't stream, you know?
Right. So Have a word.
It's not the end of the world, you know? Like, if it released and I was away, so be it. But if I can take a holiday that's not when the biggest DLC that's come out in 5 years is on, that's probably better for me, you know?
I got one question that's not on the list, Andy, that I'm just going to ask. At the moment, just everyone asks you why you're on stream. Oh, what server you're playing? Obviously, you don't give them the server because that would be like committing Harry Carey as such. But like, what servers are hot for you at the moment? What server, like, what ones are you playing at the moment so people know?
I play on a mostly lightly modded and vanilla server, so there aren't actually very many. You know, I stick to fairly close-knit servers. I play on official sometimes as well. And the nice thing with that is that people don't necessarily realize. So I it's like a choice between going on a community server. It's an obvious one. I'll probably get killed by the odd stream sniper once in a blue moon. Or if I go on official, I'll probably get killed by a hacker every now and then. But in terms of my favorite servers, I tend to play on Zero, Day One, Spaggy. Doc Dreist recently introduced me to a server that was, hang on a minute. Let me get the name.
It was Carnage. That's what we'll call it. It was Carnage.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
I can't remember the name of it, though.
It's called Clash Vanilla. It's 99 players. So it does have base building. It does have base building, but it's mostly vanilla with a couple of tweaks. But 99 players on Churnerus, that's kind of cool. Like Karma Crew as well. I didn't mention Karma Crew. Their servers are great. I don't play them quite so much because I'm not as keen on the damage system that they have on there. But the servers are great. They're really well ran. Those servers are good too. And then there's others like Daisy Underground that I really should dip back in and have a look at. But I play on other servers than those, but I tend to focus on lightly modded and vanilla. And those are the main ones that are lightly modded and vanilla, you know?
Yeah, that's the flavor of the server that you're playing, right?
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's pretty similar to our list, actually. I think that's actually bang on our list.
Well, yeah.
It seems to be what a lot of people play, that like a lot of streamers seem to play it. They're quite common servers. So you do get that kind of bleed over where you might have a fight and it turns out it's a streamer or whatever. But I've always preferred that end of the stick. You know, like when Daisy didn't have mods, there was Armor 3 with a load of mods that made it really militarized. I never played it. I never played Armor 3 Epoch or Woodlands or whatever. I always stuck to vanilla. I prefer the kind of more survivally side. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make it better, but it's just what I like. You know, there's room for all of those types, but I've never played Rearmed ever. I've never been on the server once. You know, the most modded I've played is Aftermath, which is kind of cool. You know, they're pretty good, but I haven't played Aftermath in probably more than a year.
Are those servers still around, Aftermath?
Yeah, I've seen them around.
Well, I think Frankie made a video on it and it was called Frankie's Hideout, which was one of the Aftermath servers that they were hosting. Shit. So I think they're still around, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, again, don't play. I've not played those servers in years, so.
The most modded one we play is Empire Z.
Yeah, I played that as well. That's kind of cool. I like the Star Wars map. It's modded to be Star Wars, but it's still, to me, like skin-wise, it's modded, but it's not infinite stamina. There's no trader bases. There's a lightsaber that's a one-hit kill to zombies and one-hit kill to new spawns, you know? Like, it's marginally different, but Altaria's a PvP map. It suits a PvP map. It's not any more modded than, say, Takistan Spaggy would be, which is, it's got loads of extra guns on it because Takistan suits that. You know, mm-hmm. it doesn't need to be vanilla. It's not much different than that. It's just that it's DayZ with lightsabers, you know. It's, of course, it's more modded, but it still feels like DayZ, you know.
Nice. Are there any other games that tickle your taste buds or caught your eye?
I'm a really boring gamer. Like, I don't feel like a gamer. I feel like a DayZer, if I'm honest. But the only thing that I'm really excited about in the long term is what PlayerUnknown is working on. So he's meant to be working on creator of PUBG.
Yeah, this is a whole planet thing or something,
yeah,
isn't
it?
He's
meant to be working on a massive procedurally generated survival game that might be more like an MMO, but survival, like with a map that just goes on forever, effectively, I think. So he's done really well so far. He's obviously done Arma 2 and Arma 3 Battle Royale mods, and then he's worked on H1Z1, and then he's done PUBG. Mm-hmm. And he's taken all that big wad of cash to go and start his own development company and specifically work on an open world survival game. So that, whenever it comes, could be really interesting. Beyond that, anything that comes up, I always like to try, but I've very rarely found anything that recreates the flavor of DayZ, and that's really what I'm after. So I feel like the next main game for me will probably be DayZ 2, if there ever is one. You know, I'd be surprised if it's not. I'd be very happy if someone come up with a new game that's like DayZ, but better. That'd be amazing, you know? But I think that's likely to be Bohemia if it is.
Yeah, well, actually, Tope mentioned something on his stream the other day. He goes, oh, DayZ 2 is almost going to happen. And then, like, everyone's just taking it as gospel. I had two people in my chat at the weekend going, oh, DayZ 2 has been announced, Tope said. And I'm like, no, Tope just said it. He thinks it's going to happen. And now people have taken it gospel. Like, do you find that whatever you say on stream is taken literal because you're the OG of streaming at the moment?
No, I tend to think that whatever I say gets picked apart and thrown back at me, if I'm honest.
Oh, shit.
That might not be true, though. I don't know. Regarding that, I think there are some rumors rumbling in the background that they're working on DayZ 2, but they are only rumors. But
yeah.
If somebody said to me, you've got £1 million and you must bet on DayZ 2, is it already in the works or is it not? It would be, yes, it's already in the works, would be my guess. But that is a guess, just the same as it would be for Tope. Nobody knows.
No, you heard it here first, fellas. DRMs.
But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they're already building a version and testing it internally and whatnot. I wouldn't be surprised, but I do not know that. Nobody does.
No, that's true.
I bet even half the people at BI, let's say it is happening, most of the people at BI won't even know it's happening.
No. Well, they can't, even if they were, they're not going to announce it before they're about to sell a DLC, are they? You know,
but no.
We might find out something next year. And again, that's me guessing. But if Arma 4 is much closer and they've got a finalized date for that, once Arma 4 is finalized, we might start getting some hints, I guess. But who knows when that could be? You know, it could be 2 years, a year, who knows?
Hey, man, you want to be friends? Go for the introduction, Dave. Now we've got our coffees and I've had my chocolate buttons.
Yeah, now I've had my little bit of Pepsi. But so our next segment, Paul, is about like a DayZ Room 101. So something in DayZ that you want to just maybe just chuck in the bin and never see again. Just release it. Just put it down there. Never see it again.
Just put it down like a sick dog.
Right. Okay. If we're not going to go for... If we're not going to go for the spawn system, because we already talked about it, there's two choices here. I either go for zombie AI or hackers.
Oh.
How has that never come up before?
Yeah,
No one put hackers in the bin?
Yeah, hackers are still out there allowed at the moment. So until you put them in there, Paul, they're still out there to play.
Well, there we go. Let's go with... I don't even know if I should call them hackers, because every time I say the word hacker on stream, someone goes, and they're not hackers, they're actually scripters. They didn't actually change the code themselves like they're in the Matrix. They just bought some cheats.
Exploiters, then.
Yeah, but anyway, let's go with that then. We'll go with that. Let's go with scripters that buy cheats and then ruin the game for everybody else. We'll put them in the 101.
That's quite an easy... I can't believe out of all of... I mean, we haven't done it for very long, to be fair, but no one's done that, and I feel like that was missed opportunities.
Well, probably not so many people play too much official, maybe. I don't know.
No, that's true. I only remember one time, and we've spoken about it on the podcast before, but... I remember one time being caught out by a hacker on a community server.
Oh, I do get it occasionally. Yeah, you do get it. But then somebody was banned the other week on Zero for shooting at me from miles away.
Oh, well, that's exactly what happened to us.
But I have got to say that the admins on Zero like smashed it out of the park. That guy was out of there. Yeah. See you later.
They're all really good. I think that's something that really should be bigged up across the board, really. But the amount of effort that goes on behind the scenes, hosting servers and dealing with people's queries and banning people that are cheating and so on. So many servers do it, from Spaggy to Zero to Day One to Karma Crew, and there's loads and loads of others, you know, but there's a lot of effort and a lot of labor of love that goes on there for nil reward, let's say, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the big difference, really, isn't it, between community and official. That they're actively monitored, and there's some support there, right? So I think that's, it can only be a good thing.
I agree. So I won't get killed by a cheat anymore, right? That's it.
No, that's it. Yeah, it's in the bin.
That's it. You've put them in there. They can't get out now. They're like a charmed, like they're stuck in the book now.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Fucking hell, Dave. Where did you pull that from?
my asshole.
Charmed. Jesus Christ.
Channel 5 was stuck in my head, man.
That's ridiculous. See, we've done the main portion of this. Is always fucking happens with Dave Paul. We get through the main portion of the podcast and then he just becomes uncontrollable. He's an absolute weapon.
He gets attention deficit disorder or something.
Jesus, he plugs in his extra battery and starts going like the Energizer Bunny. But next section, let's go. Team up.
Video of the week. Did you like that, Paul? Did you like that?
That sounded so professional. Is that an echo? Did you use a soundboard for that?
Yeah, it was a soundboard, yeah.
I've only got the biggest bucks here, man. Yeah, all the professional professional tools.
All the tech.
On my stream deck. So video of the week, Paul. What is your choice?
Well, I'm afraid I'm going to choose just my favourite video of all time, which is Maverick Moon by Mr. Moon. So it's video of the week for those that want to go back and watch it. Even if you saw it when it came out, go back and watch it again. It's such a cool video, that Maverick Moon by Mr. Moon. So it's not a recent video.
No.
That would be my one.
It doesn't have to be. And it's the video. That's just one, the video of this week. And it's Mr. Moon's one. Perfect.
Obviously, when you go to watch that, make sure you sub to the Running Man's on YouTube and watch every single one of those videos too.
Well, we were actually going to ask you, Paul, have you had to buy a IKEA shelving unit for all the video of the weeks that you've won on our show?
Or you're such
have
a you dick. Just
has Yodel just not delivered them?
I have not received any of those awards as yet. I'm still waiting. They must be lost
my
in the post.
God.
Yeah, that's right. We'll get the tracking numbers together.
We will scold them.
I think, to be honest, the only reason I might win video of the week is because I probably had a video out that week. You know, some people might make videos every 6 weeks. I make them every, with my editors, you know, I'm not doing it all on my own, but with Uncooper and now more recently as well, Finn, I might have a video more often than not every Saturday now. So that's kind of cool.
I did notice that you've moved from Sunday to Saturday. Was that?
I did. That was. You can't release a video the same day you stream. And
oh,
so my
shit,
stream
really?
Schedule is Sunday to Thursday. So I used to do the videos at Sunday 3 p.m, but I used to stream on Twitch and that had no impact. But if you're streaming, that's sending out a notification to your audience to watch the stream. If you put out a video at the same time, that message gets lost and you lose viewers from your stream and you lose viewers from the video too, because it just causes confusion. So I never stream on a Saturday, so I moved the video release to then, so it would never coincide with a stream.
It's almost like this is your profession or something, because you seem to know quite a lot about it.
Well, you learn as you go. You know, there's no handbook for stuff. And the biggest tip for somebody that wants to start YouTube or start Twitch is that it's on you to learn everything. Even if somebody tells you some information, it might not be right.
Yeah.
You know, you just learn by trial and error and learn what works for you and then stick with that. That's the way it is. Self-learning is the only way you can gradually make it as a YouTube douche or a Twitch douche or whatever.
Actually, yeah, that's where I think me and Andy and, say, Freshborns have a little bit of an advantage, because we get to bounce ideas off each other, where you have just had to bounce ideas off yourself, if you know.
Yeah, I guess that. Yeah, you also, if you've got two of you, there's two of you to do all the work as well. God, I wish I had two of me. That would be great.
So did everyone else, by all accounts.
Just think of the lonely nights in that you could have.
Well, I don't want to talk to me, though. That would be annoying as hell. But like, if I could have a mute that could just do all the work but not speak, that would be great.
Andy, cool. This is your bit now.
My mind ran away from me, I'm not going to lie.
If you're thinking about having sex with yourself, that's very, very, very sad.
Oh, is it? Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck,
I can't
me.
Even look at myself in a mirror, never mind contemplate that.
Friendly? Just the tip. Paul, every week we like to give a tip to our listeners, whether they're new or old. I say old. That's probably a bad expression. Seasoned. Whether they're seasoned players or new players. And that could be from anything, inside, outside of the game, something related to DayZ. But you've been tasked with coming up with a tip for us. So, over to you.
Well, it'll be in the game, I guess. I'm not a sage of real life things. I mess up my own life every day, you know. So, in the game, my best tip beyond that works for everyone, see it through. That's the tip. If you get Kuru, see it through. If you break your leg, see it through. If you accidentally, I don't know, give yourself cholera, but you're still on the coast, see it through. That's the best tip. Don't give up, drop your gear in a bush, suicide, and start again, because you're not having the adventure that the game is meant to be giving you, and you'll miss out on a whole load of cool stuff if you do.
Yeah, so none of that uncon respawn. It's uncon wake up, get held up, well, go on an adventure.
Exactly.
And yeah, you know what I mean?
I'm not trying to judge everyone, you know. Sometimes, like, I'll always suicide if I have my own avatar that I like to play as, so I'll suicide to be the right avatar. If I've spawned in Berezino and had a life, and then I die and I get the same spawn again, I might suicide for a different spawn, you know, like, who cares, you know. Other people will disagree with that, and that's fine. But if you get, like, if someone holds you up and feeds you meat and you've got Kuru, play that life, you know. If you might as well, because it'll open the door to other things that you wouldn't have had happen otherwise, you know. Like, and likewise, if you break your leg or you get some illness you don't think you can survive, spend 45 minutes trying to survive. You might die, but if you come out the other side, the sense of accomplishment is worth the effort at trying, you know, because that's where the game is, you know. Those moments that are off the cuff, that's where the best of the game can be sometimes, when you see it through and you come out the other side or you don't, you know. That's really where the game can be at its best, aside from when you're meeting other players, you know.
Yeah, I saw a bit of that yesterday on your stream, where you were on the Autumn Chinaris with
Lexi.
Yeah, that's the one, Lexify. And you died at the bus station in Cherno from, like, just being red everything, can't get food, and the food was stuck in the bus. You're like,
there was a few unfortunate events that kind of led me towards that, but, like, I had to go and aggro zombies because I needed food or I was dead, and then I aggroed two zombies and I was limping red and flashing red. It was just like a no win. But the amount of times on the stream over the years I've had no win scenarios, and someone in the chat, not most, because most of regular viewers, but someone going, you're wasting your time, just give up. You're wasting your time, just give up, you know. And then half an hour later, they're all quiet when I'm completely out the other side and fine. You know? Like, most of the time, if you've got some experience, you'll get through to the other side. But that adventure is really some of the core gameplay, you know. Like, when it's not just you spawn in and got a cold 3 seconds later, it doesn't feel like a punishment. When it's your own choices that led you to it, it can be so fun to try and come out the other side, you know. That's where some of the best of the game is.
Do you think, like, the reaction from chat when they come up with that kind of stuff, like just respawn, is mainly because they just want whatever you've got there and then? They don't want to see you struggle for 25 minutes trying to fix your broken leg to, you know, and be on yellow health for the next half hour.
I think it's really a little bit like if you're watching a football match in the pub and there's people shouting at the player to do something, you know. Like, I think it's just a bit like that. It's kind of human nature, but you're watching the stream, you feel engaged. But one of the cool things about a stream is you can be engaged with the thing that you're watching, whereas if you can't be watching, I don't know, Slow Horses and be telling Gary Oldman what to do, you know. but with a stream, you're directly involved, you know. If I happen to say, I really could do with some food, someone's going to tell me where it spawns. Now, I know where it spawns, but that's fine. That's part of streaming, you know. Like, that they're just involved with the event. So it's all part of it. I think it's more like, I don't know, it's a bit like the dude in the pub who's on his seventh pint telling Harry Kane how to take a penalty or something, you know. It's a little not that I'm Harry Kane, you know. I'm a bit more of a has-been than that, but there we go.
I don't know, it sounds like you're bigging yourself up a little bit there,
that's
Paul.
That's not what I'm going for. Right. telling the third reserve goalkeeper how to warm up.
Tim Krul, how to save penalties.
I'm not a football guy at all, so I'm assuming these are funny. Right, cool.
No, football's not funny. It's too serious.
Football's a way of life, Andy.
Yeah, rugby's a way of life.
Fucking hell. Vriendelijk.
So that is the end of them segments. So the next thing I really wanted to move on to, Paul, like we've mentioned before, our Dutch friend Wes, he's booked a holiday over Sakau. So I really want you to just say to him, fuck you, Wes, for going on holiday over the update. If you wouldn't mind, just giving it your best.
Just giving him some shit.
Just enjoy the holiday. Who cares?
No.
What are we looking for?
Sorry. Enjoy the holiday and come back and you've got something to look forward to. It's fine.
That's a complete opposite of what we wanted.
Sorry. I'm not good at performing monkey. I can't do it.
Right, no, we like that. That's cool, man. Wes will love that. He'll be going away on his holiday now. Nah. Paul said I'd have had a good time and I fucking will.
Yeah, he gets so angry, so we like to wind him up.
Yeah, we love to wind him up.
That will have made his day, so thank you very much.
Thank you very much for that.
Well, I guess we're like outroing now, right?
Yeah, that's weird.
Wow, done.
We're done.
I love you later. I'm going to
Liam Gallagher. Like, I went to the boxing on Saturday and Liam Gallagher did three songs badly and he finished the last lyric of the last song and then he just hung his tambourine up on the mic and he just walked off. Like the band was still playing the rest of the outro of the song and he just walked off. He was gone. Hell. He was like back in the green room while they were still playing the last track. You know, I'll just do that. You'll ask me a question in a minute and I'll be gone.
I'll be like, hello? Hello?
What a prick Liam Gallagher was there.
I heard about your debacle with the security guards as well. How annoying would that be? After how much money you paid for your tickets.
It was frustrating. So we first sat down in seats and then there was a gazebo that was covering the DJ gear that was completely covering the ring from my seats that we'd bought. All the seats to the left were all covered over because they couldn't sell them. And my seat and my missus's seat was the first that they'd sold. And it was still covered. You couldn't see the ring at all. And then then on, it was just a disaster. But the actual main event fight was okay, but the rest of the night was an absolute nightmare. But it was a cool thing to see, Dubois versus Joshua. It was a cool thing. You know, it was a cool event. A hell of a quiet moment when he got knocked down for the first time. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a historic as well, right?
Yeah, I've always enjoyed boxing. Like, mainly British fighters, when they're fighting like at the higher level, like Carl Zaghi and before that Eubank and whatnot, and all of the fighters in between, Lennox Lewis and so on, you know, but to be able to go to a couple has been kind of cool, but it just doesn't really work at Wembley unless you're lucky enough to be in the first five or six rows. Then it just doesn't work for boxing, really.
I met Dillian White in Brixton once.
Oh, yeah.
I worked with a guy who he went to school with, and I can't remember why. I think we were going to... He was taking me to like some Jamaican shop in Brixton. And we just bumped into him and we were just chatting. And he's like, do you know who that was? And I was like, not a clue, mate. I thought you were just chatting to your mate. And then he told me who it was, Googled him. I was like, oh, cool.
That's cool. Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's an amazing sport, but it just doesn't work at Wembley. I think any more of those I'm watching on the telly, they're just too big. It's like, unless you want to spend thousands on a ticket, you're not going to see it.
I just got one sub question. Is like, have you got any? I know you've been to this type of event, but is there any Daisy events that you're partaking in the new future that you want to just highlight?
At the moment, no. I know there's a lightsaber battle on Empires. That's the last weekend.
Is there? What the fuck?
The last Sunday, but I'm not sure I can go in it or not. But last Sunday of this month, there's one of those. I think most of the events that are likely to be happening in the next few months are not really planned yet. So I believe there's going to be a Lights Out 3, but that the last time I heard about that was just as the last one ended. I'm guessing if there is one, it'll probably be on the new map. But likewise, I think Happy Bombs might do something with True Colors or some other event, but whether they do or not will depend on the map and timescales, you know. But I hope there's a Lights Out 3 in December. That would be amazing.
I love Lights Out so much.
Do you know when you mentioned the lightsaber battle, did anybody else think of that Family Guy lightsaber battle between the old paedophile and Stewie?
Herbert the pervert.
I've never seen an entire episode of Family Guy in my life.
Oh, Paul, you would love the humour.
I probably would, but I haven't seen an episode of anything like that. The last time I watched an animation that was meant to be funny was The Simpsons in about 2007. Probably haven't watched anything since, you know. Not by design, it's just the way it's gone. I've not been able to get into it at all. I've never really tried, though. Like that and American Dad or any of the others, I just can't be bothered. Like,
nah, I don't get American Dad, if I'm honest.
Nah, but it was on. It's always on straight after, and it's always an anti-climax to Family Guy.
Yeah. It's like a come down.
Yeah.
Well, Paul, it has been an absolute pleasure to celebrate our 100th episode speaking to one of our favourite streamers, favourite contract... If I could speak properly,
content
that'd
creators.
Be good. Yeah, thanks, Dave.
Yeah, and so professional.
That's right.
It's what the fans have come to expect.
Red lorry, yellow lorry. Red lorry, yellow lorry.
I can't get my words out ever. It's fine.
I'm going to have to just keep that in now, aren't I? Because that was, fuck's sake.
That was all about it.
Keep that bit in as well. And this bit now. Keep this in now.
And this bit. More like this bit.
Yeah, keep that bit in. And this bit I'm saying now, keep this bit in. Bit now. Also, thanks, Stuart Lee. I just copy you when I do this shit. And I do it on stream all the time. It's from Stuart Lee. But yeah, this bit, keep this bit in right now.
Right, lovely. It's been great to talk to you, to pick your brains about things, and perfect timing with Sakal coming out on the 15th of October, which I think this episode releases on the 4th of October, so should be next week, I guess. Or just over.
Well, hello. Hopefully we're playing it any second now, or yesterday, or next day. I don't know, but soon. To the future you that's listening to this now. Not now, because it will be in the future. In like, it's the 24th today, so you'll be listening to it now, but not for me, because now is like now.
Time travel.
Yeah. Sorry, I won't do that anymore.
No, we like that. Because we have like an international listener base, and some people are like, we got a friend in New Zealand saying, I've listened to it way before you lot, technically.
All right, let's call it there then. I don't want to, but we've got to go at some point.
Oh, no.
So.
All right. Love you, bye.
Oi! Well.
Well, well.
I don't want this to be the right word, but I think it's the best word that describes how I'm feeling. I feel satisfied.
I feel so happy. Like, I'm going to go now, go to work and be slightly depressed, but nothing could beat this feeling.
Oh, dear. I don't really know how to explain it. I mean, we could go through the usual thing of, what a lovely guy. I didn't, you know, where you don't speak to him that much, whatever. But it's one of those people that I've probably spent the most amount of time listening to in their streams. And he comes across exactly the same way when you're talking to him voice to voice, you know?
100%. And like I said, like, one of the reasons why I got into DayZ with baby nades and TRMZ videos, and to actually speak to him on a level, because obviously he was talking to us as equals there. Like, he made us feel like we were his equal, and we're most definitely not. But he made us feel so equal to him in every way that actually it was so sound and humbling.
I guess we're all here just for the same reason, right? We all love DayZ.
For the vine.
I thought you were going to say for the bare necessities then.
Oh no, damn.
For the
bare necessities.
All right, listen, the new listeners who are listening just for TRMZ's interview don't need to hear us singing.
That was the first time we've done that though. Well, we don't normally burst into song together.
Oh, it was the first and it was the last.
Yeah, we'll make that the last. Sorry, guys.
We've learned from our mistakes. No, it was cracking. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. So now, without further ado, let's talk about this competition. This is still our 100th episode. So we have a small competition to help you celebrate with us.
Yes.
Is that what you...
That was my... Yes. That was me agreeing with it. Yes, that was very good. Well done, sir.
So here goes the competition. You have a chance to win Frostline DLC. That's right, the new Frostline DLC that's coming out in a couple of weeks on the 15th of October, as well as a piece of unique merch that's going up on our store. You can get a t-shirt just for you, specially for the low, low cost of free, I guess.
Yeah. Andy does a limited edition one every single competition we do. Last time it was won by the new Friar, who is Friar, and he is our mod now, one of the top guys of our community. He has a limited edition. Only one guy in the world has that top. This is exactly the same. Only the person that wins this competition will have that top.
Well, they're kind of exactly the same. A, it's not exactly the same as Friars, but also it's not a limited edition. You just get it for free. It's just a unique one. I'll tell you what, it's a DayZ Sleepod t-shirt. Don't worry about it. Have a look on our merch site. Have a look, see if it tickles your fancy. How do you enter this competition?
Yeah, how do we enter this competition, Andy?
Well. It's more of an Easter egg hunt. It's more of a quest for you. So
for the snow owl?
It's easier than the deer owl quest.
Okay, is it as easy as the Anastara quest?
It's probably on par with the Anastara quest.
Okay, cool.
There is a gift link that we have that will direct you to a page on our merch store where you can claim this free piece of goodness, where you'll get the Frostline DLC and the t-shirt. Mm. I have split this link up into several pieces, and it is your job to find it first. If you find it first, input the link, it will give you the opportunity to claim it as your gift.
Nice. Andy, where can they look or find this stuff?
So the link's going to be separated. There's going to be a portion in our Discord. You might want to check our Twitter. You might want to check somewhere in this podcast. You might want to check the community spotlight article that we release. I don't know. Just have a look. Anything that we might have access to edit, have a look around. There will be, I think four. I think they're going to split it into four sections.
Four quarters?
No, five quarters.
Ooh, he's kicking right off.
No, I think I actually have split it into five. Yeah, let's do five.
Okay. That would lead into segments. Five segments.
Five quarters.
Oh.
They'll be labelled so you know what order they go into. Basically, the first person to find all five pieces. It's like the pieces of eight, but pieces of five.
Yeah, pieces of five.
You'll have a link. That will create you a... This is so complicated. You'll have a link and it will take you to the claimy bit. And then there you go. So thank you very much for listening to 100 episodes of Friendlier Daisy podcast.
Hopefully it's as special as it is for you that it is for us doing it with the king himself.
The king.
Oh, he's on the toilet the whole time.
That's why. No, because then he wouldn't need to go for Code Brown.
Yeah, he didn't go for a Code Brown.
He would just go. Can you imagine, like, if you, just not DRMZ, but if you were, like, listening to a stream and you could just hear him, like, plop, plop.
Oh, this one's, this one's like rabbit droppings.
Just fucking scattergun. This is the normal level that we go down to on our podcast.
Yeah.
Hey-ho. And hey, if you're here, if you're still here next week, we also have something to announce next week too. So, without further ado, have we got anything else to add, Dave?
No.
Thank you very much for listening to yet another episode of Friendlier Daisy podcast. Be good. Love you lots. Until next time.
Ciao for now.
You can say, you can actually say I love you, yes. Bye this time.
Love you, bye.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.